You know, it's when you preach something, you think you know it. And sometimes when the revelation of it hits you, you knew it was true. I got so excited over something I knew. Well, depending on your call. No, that's just the way he uses you. You know what I found out? You might think you know this too. That I could have all I wanted of him. That it was up to me. Up to me. Hallelujah, Jesus. I've talked to so many people that were trying to find out the reason they were like they were, and then it usually goes along the parable that we created about when I got run over by a truck. It hit my car and run over me, and the car rolled down a hill and another truck hit it. And then it threw me out and I rolled down another hill and then a car ran over me. I woke up in the hospital. Somebody next to me wasn't saved. I got them saved. Now I know why he ran over me with the truck. I would have only one question. Why didn't you just tell me to go there? The devil's most effective in deception. It probably is his most powerful weapon, deception. When Gabriel, archangel from the right hand of God, came to Mohammed, told him, I am from the right hand of God, and you are his voice on this earth. Well, you know, when Satan's masquerading as an angel of light, see, so he's caused a lot of deception and things. But it is his most powerful weapon, you know. He don't have time to run around to everybody and get them to serve him. He just trains somebody and they do it for him.
Speaking with tongues passed away with the apostles.
You're about to, devil.
Well, healing, he doesn't do that anymore.
Maybe not for you. The meeting that we had, I don't know, it affected me different, and I could tell it was affecting Alan different. And I don't know if I went in not the same or came out not the same. I don't know. But I do know something has happened. And of course it has to do with that love of God. And in praying, I don't know, he just took me back through the centuries in just a second. And it was so quick. I'd see dark areas and regions, and then it would begin to light up and fires would begin to burn. And then here he would come, and he studied mankind. The devil has for 6,000 years, and 4,000 of that was spiritually dead men, obeying God through law, whatever other form of sacrifice, such as when the ark landed. They had to have more clean beasts on the ark than unclean, because you didn't sacrifice an unclean. So if you had very few multiplying animals, you couldn't eat them all, or, you know, you couldn't offer them all up. It would be, you'd run out of animals. So he's had a long time to study us. And a main key word in the prophecy for the prayer center was endurance. I didn't know it'd pay the price for that word, because the kind of meeting he wanted was a revival that would continue to grow and change people and be one the devil couldn't stop. See? What I was privileged to see was a lot of people to come to that door that I came through. And he studied them in times past for, you know, 6,000 years and 2,000, born again. And so the door that I came to was a door where the love of God was on an unparalleled, just unparalleled level. And not only had I not seen before, but not dreamed of. And so I knew why he was showing me what he was, because every time anybody got close to that place, that, I mean, he turned a lot of hell loose on them, and the reason he did it, because he learned by experience, you've got to stop this thing right here. You got to stop it. So us knowing that the way that he said different things, the reasons he would say them, I mean, who wouldn't want to jump at or covet earnestly the best gifts? They listed power gifts and workings of miracles. Why wouldn't he? See? Well, I knew that he knew then how dangerous this was, because in these scriptures it says we should covet earnestly for the things we all look for. He calls it gifts of healing and workings of miracles, giftings, which covers everything, you know. Turning water into wine, to walking on water and stilling storms. But the healing gifts are, it's plural too, because it encompasses, like miracles, your body. But also that strong roots are in your soul, you have trouble dealing with, even though you're born again. And these healing gifts, he can strike that and heal that as easy as he can heal anything else. So it's healing gifts and things and that. But to say covet earnestly the best gifts, now covet's a really strong. That's a really strong word. That's past your intellect wanting it. It's emotions and everything, and it's something that drives you. I want this. So when he said, covet earnestly the best gifts, yet I'll show you a more excellent way. I'm thinking a more excellent way to, you know, put that aside and walk and eat ice cream and skip, doodaloo, la la da da. I'm African. Okay, this is a better way. No, I'll show you a more excellent way to covet the best gifts. In other words, the same tenacity you'd want to go after the power. How long have you been like that? Rise up and walk. And they rise up and walk. Everybody's looking around you trying to look humble. Oh man, did he use you? Oh my God. Yeah, yeah. It was prophesied. God, man, I never seen anything like that. Yeah, you know, I'm not really special, you know. I think Tim saved my life once. I really took it to heart. The reason was it cut it out for a minute and operated on it. I'm so glad he did it, though. God was just beginning to reach here and reach there with the preachings and things that we were doing. I was a whole lot more, unproductive than the right kind of productive in some areas. When I saw that, I knew how to make it right. But anyway, we were just sitting there. I had got a letter from certain really high up people, and I wanted to frame it and stuff because it'd be highly recognizable. And they needed prayer. They needed prayer. It reminded me of the first miracle I saw, the woman with the deaf ear. God, he let me go with that because I was a little baby preacher, and I was just took my baby rattler and hit another preacher with it. So God passed on that, didn't do anything about it. It was just baby's nature. It was the first time I preached, actually, and that took more boldness than standing a rhinoceros off on a dead run with two pigs backing him up. I took the mic. A little young 15-year-old song leader is out playing the guitar in every song he knew. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. He'd sang it several times, and another one, and I was in a serving kitchen. It was a hall, and I could open it up a little bit with the counter and peek, and I was watching him. He'd look over there all the time. I was scared to come out. Anyway, I come out finally, and I grabbed that plastic mic, and I just... He's on the bed of affliction. I think there was at least 7 to 10 people on the bed of affliction. He was sick. And my mind would go blank. God saved him. He healed him. He healed him. He healed. Getting it, Hagin? I thought it's a good time to stop. And I says, anybody need prayer? I thought I was safe. This woman goes, yeah, sonny, I can't hear out of this ear. Oh, shh. Quiet, please. Don't let them hear. And then myself, I thought, then they won't know I failed. So I put hands over her ears like that, and I'm praying for her. I bent over and went, can you hear me? She go, can you hear me? So I say, in the name of Jesus, hear. Open. She had a deaf ear, and I prayed for her. I was sitting there with Tim. Somebody else was there too, I think. I got a letter from some high person and they needed some counsel. So, I guess that prophecy that was given to me several times, and mostly the holiness move, that I'd stand before kings one day. I guess it's going to come to pass. And Tim said something like, I've heard this before. And they were destroyed. They were destroyed. I felt like pulling my tongue out this far and cutting it off. He said, they were destroyed. You know how dangerous self-exaltation is when it's to the stage you're just taking the glory for what he's doing? Or the indication is so strong that I'm special so I could attain to it. Good luck, buddy. See, what do you think Satan's primary takeout with people is? I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I'll be like the Most High. So who knows how to come and butter you up? And the reason you got called is because you're great. You're His special choice. You get off into that stuff, it won't be long. Tim was saving my life. So throughout history, the devil having 6,000 years to study both the spiritually dead man, 2,000 years on the live man. So he found out what's really effective in us being in one of the last century. Seventh day he rested, Sabbath, you know, it'd be about 7,000 years.
Now Earth's going to be destroyed and all real soon.
No, no. It's got another 1,000 years. Of course, he'll come back at the beginning of that.
No, yes.
He studied intently because he doesn't know everything. He can't create nothing. He can't read the future. He can't do any of those things. He's a createe, not a creator. He can't do nothing. He can't make a molecule.
Well, he turned those witch doctors' staffs into serpents, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, but they don't have a spirit. All that does is you just have to change molecules and molecular, and then electric flows through it, and then snakes are alive. God didn't create them and put them in his hand. God didn't cause our fall. What do you think that was a type of? Pharaoh, let my people go! By whose authority? Think you can order me around? Moses threw the staff down. Witch doctors threw theirs down, his court. His turned into snakes, so did theirs, but his went and ate them all up, and then come back and turned back into the staff. That's when Jesus died in our place. We were baptized into his death, yeah, and we were resurrected back with him into a son and a daughter of God. It was that's how I'm going to take my people out of darkness. That's how you got that Pharaoh. He didn't understand nothing, probably. What kind of snake fight is this? So, Tim, you know, but this part I do know. Devil studied and everything. Now I know for positive that you can't keep edifying yourself in tongues consistently. Maybe you have lapses now and then, but consistently returning and continue to edify yourself. You can't keep doing that, that he doesn't use what you're doing to pull down strongholds with. Strongholds, a system of thought empowered by emotion. It's awful hard to deal with. A powerful stronghold. Blocks your entrance to the next place in God. You want to go, but you just can't get past this. I've ordered it to go. I've done things. When you get into the intercessional groanings of the Spirit, sometimes I'd get edified. I'd be higher than a kite, and other times I would sink into the groanings of the Spirit. And when I did, I was finding out I was up against a rock. I was up against a rock. What do you do? All of a sudden, a mystery would come after I worked that intercession and moved that rock out of the way. He didn't do it. He said, open my eyes. And I could see the stronghold. And I'd go around onto the other side of it. And I could see it through his eyes. When I finally saw it through his eyes, I had the faith to destroy it. And it was destroyed. And it was move on. Now I've got another place for you. Well, you think, when he says I'd want to have a revival here in Tulsa, I saw that just right after I was born again. I didn't know it was Tulsa, but I saw the Maybe Center, the freeway systems, cars, everything, like an aerial shot. But the part I got to see was cars backed up waiting to get off the freeway. If I had three kids that couldn't see or hear, I mean, if a neighbor did, he can bring them back and they're all whole and I have some. You don't have enough. I'll carry him on a bicycle. You don't have enough to keep me out of that meeting. You don't have enough. Well, this is what's very interesting now. You know, the last time I preached on attaining to the door, been there for a while, attained the door, and finally got a look into what's ahead. A fullness of the love of God I never dreamed, and even now in this meeting, he reached down and he, at times, something is different, and it comes, and I know something's happening. But I also know the devil's seen this before. He saw this before. And he's about willing to do anything to keep anybody from going in there. Because when you do, then the part of everything God is begins to increase in you and everything that's going on around you. He can't have that, because love casts out all fear, and it never, never fails. And when it goes tangible, it turns into compassion, the substance Jesus was moved by when it was present, and he left no one unhealed. No one. That was him. Yeah, well, he wasted a lot of verses on us, you know. The works I do, you'll do also. All things are possible to him that believeth. You can say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and doubt not in your heart, and you'll have what you'll. He wasted so many verses on us. And then right after Jesus went home, just before Pentecost, right after Pentecost then, they were all gathered together. Jesus was home. He was home. But the apostles and all of them had stepped in. They were only with him 3.5 years. And as spiritually dead men at that time. When they went out and did miracles, they carried his mantle. They wasn't born again. He wasted a lot of space or something, you know. But not only did everybody there get healed, but they started hauling them in from the regions around about to those group of apostles. And finally the apostles quit cooking and just said, set some men and you do the cooking. We got to continually stand ourselves in prayer. But anyway, he says, they hauled the sick in from the regions round about, and they were healed, 3/4 of them. Well, if you read your Bible, you're making me nervous. Oh. Didn't you have a scripture for us to turn to? Oh, I did. I always get that. John 14, For the part you see when your spirit is nature is taking on love and taking on love, not only do you see the same miracles you used to see, but in other places and here and there, but you'll begin to understand them. And even more than that, and that's the times when I can come with what I have and use what you have, which is what I have, to increase what you have. And the most powerful of these is my love. For it casts out the fear. And it never, never fails to do what it's activated to do. So rejoice and know this, what I've given to one, I'll give to another. And they'll be rejoicing and shoutings on the day of reward. You let me finish up here all that I have planned for this place, and you'll see those will be the most heavenly times of your existence. When you understand the fullness of what happened, you'll rejoice. You will rejoice. I don't know how. This is me. I don't know how God does it. I guess He's not limited too much, except by unbelief. I don't know how, but I got to stand that minute, like when I got to stand in the love for a minute. I got to stand in heaven for a minute, like a new entry. And I don't know what you did here seemed to settle in somehow on that's what you are there. Oh yeah, we're the children of God, and we love Him and He loves us all. He couldn't love us anymore. As far as the reward goes, somehow, I didn't know whether it's by feeling or by what, but if somebody really, really played havoc on what hell has, really played havoc on it, are you talking about just the called? The person that cleans the church has got the same. He doesn't judge it by quantity or anything. He judges it by what you did, how much you... If you made the millions that caused us to win the nations, well, why would your reward for sweating and working and praying and rejoicing along the way then put the billions in? It would almost get nations saved. You think all that time you put in isn't part of your reward? A soul is forever. What are you willing to give for it? Somehow, it wasn't like a discerning gift. You turned it on. I know all about this person. Somehow you could feel the level. Somehow like a deep respect and an honor. And oh my God, this is the person. And no small amazement. Any jealousy, anything like that? Nothing, just gratitude. How? This is amazing what you did. Amazing. We just seem to know. What kind of father do we have? Boy, you wanna talk about a father. Here we are, little baby stumbling around and stuff and don't know how to pray. Didn't have a Bible. Didn't have nothing. And a big old backslidden archangel torment. We didn't have nothing. No Bible, no nothing. So it's absolutely amazing the steps that Godhead took. And I put them around the council table and illustrated this one time. They planned the future ahead of time and they saw the problems. Look, they fell. Jesus said, I'll go redeem them. The word said, I'll go die for them. And then those that accept it, I'll die for them. And the Holy Spirit says, oh, wow. If you do that, you know, I'll go and be the power in their life. You know, so they could walk and win other people and things and be part of that plan. I'll be the power. Well, you think they'll be excited about getting a new nature and all that power and stuff? And they looked ahead in the future and went, look, they're still just staggering around doing nothing and stuff. Well, we've been trying to get them to pray and they won't hardly pray. And you've been trying to teach them and it's been pretty hard. You know, they like money better than that. So finally, says the Holy Spirit says, I guess it's come down to this. They won't really pray on their own. A scattered one, you know, you'll see him over here and there. They don't really pray on their own. I guess it's come to this. I'll have to do their praying for them. What kind of Father we got? We die spiritually, he comes after us and redeems us. Then he fills us with this power and we don't know how to pray. And he says, okay, I'll go, I'll do it for him. So he borrows our authority by creating those words in our spirit so we can say them. The authority's transferred. Then he prays out his plan for us. If you'll pray. Look, some of them aren't doing it. Some of them are preaching against it. And an angel didn't quite understand, says, I'm going there and I'm going to start slapping him. Oh no, just calm down, angel. Wait a minute, is there any way you can make it any easier? You're praying your plan out for us so they will have faith to make those steps and pulling down the strongholds and also teaching us. Whoa, Holy Spirit, what a teacher you are, sent to guide us into all truth, not push if you don't. He respects that. You know, quit pushing on me. I'm about to form a great church that don't do that foolishness, speaking in tongues.
I'm led by the Spirit.
Stop it. He'll guide. He won't push. See, guide.
Brother Roberson.
I like people when they say, God gave me this child. He's special. He's special. Other people will say, he knew me from my mother's womb. Of course he knew you. He knows everybody. Of course he knew you, but they were using it that I was preordained to be saved. Well, we all were. Well, I wasn't planning on going to hell. None of them were. Yeah, but I'm special. He chose me from my mother's womb. Then he's done a disservice to every other child in the whole world. He's planned it for all of us, but it's still our choice because he wasn't pushing us. We'll be as free in heaven as we are now. What would somebody that come forever and is on his way to forever, what would he want from us when everything he created, he wanted the thing that cost heaven. The most dangerous thing, the most destructive thing heaven has ever sustained was protecting your right to make choices. But I don't care who you are. Anything that's less than you, you created it. And only God could give a nature like his. And still, them be free to choose, even so like it was in the angelic creation before our time. He come from forever and is on his way to forever. But being him, the three in one, existing for what? Where'd they come from? They didn't. They always were. What could they possibly want from 200 pounds of sand with a mouth? This is my home, which I plan on shedding not too long from now, maybe 30 years.
Well, he's all powerful. There's some things he can't do.
There's some things he cannot do. Lie. God's not a man that he can lie. When he framed us, didn't he? I don't like to be used as an example like that. He's not a man that he can lie. So what was he after? Even in his status and standing, what was he? What did it cost? Did you think about all that it cost him? For what? For a family? You know? Well, hi, Mark. I'm God, you know, eternal. I've been around forever. I made everything. I even had the power to make you different. You can choose things and that, and it's totally, thoroughly your choice. I made it that way. I'd leave myself out of that. Because you understand that I came from forever and I'm on my way, and even though I am eternal, I'll be here forever. This is what I'm finding out. I don't know how close we are to him coming into this era when he wanted a family. I don't know. Angels were sure serving something. Long before Adam they came, who were they serving? What creation? Heaven? Were they there serving? Just heaven? Who was there? What was there? So what was this that he was willing to pay such a price and to become the man himself? Boy, if you don't get the picture yet, he loves you. So when that love starts taking you, you think you're going to look at people the same. You think he'd want you to. You'd find out he wanted them healed more than you do. And a truck didn't run over him because it was in his will. That baby wasn't born twisted up so the mom would get saved. That is healing. See, he didn't do any of that. None of it. So what will that love do? You start seeing him more and more like him. That's what he is. You don't see a sinner walking up. You see some eternal creature that he's paid everything for at one time. Everything. What are you going to do? Insult him? Kicking him a couple of times just to make sure he won't get saved? Or do you think you can represent me through just a few things maybe?
You trying to convict us?
No, no, no. I'm trying to tell you about a friend of mine, my father. Even him being a forever and alone will create a bunch of robots to march. What would I get out of that? Talk about private worship. You mean when you lift your hands.
Have you said this before, Brother Roberson?
About 50 times. What do you think it means to him? Totally your decision to be born again. Maybe you were influenced by some great people that demonstrated God. However, you were born again. You have that nature. And the Holy Spirit took his piece of chalk and tutored you. That really means one-on-one. He guided us into all truth, not shoved us. He's our personal tutor. He fixed it where he could take each of us aside and train us to the hilt in what he's called us to.
Well, I don't even know how to pray about it.
Yes, you do. Just pray in tongues. You're praying his plan out. He that searches the heart knows what is the plan of God. And able makes him to make intercession for you according to the mind of God. Then you could know all those things will work together for the good to them that love God and are called to the purpose you're working by praying in tongues. Meditating what he's already said to us, which is the Bible. So what's this being alone thing? If it affected him that's created everything, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit make up the true one living God. The three make the one true living God.
Well, how can there be three people to be one?
I don't know. Look at your son. It's both of you. One of them's got its eyes, the other eyebrows. And the girl's got the boy's shoulders, and he's got hers. But anyway, they're our daughters. And look. The wife says, look, my daughter's got your shoulders. Her shoulders. Can you see two people in the child? Yet it's one child. I don't know how he did it. I don't have to. They've known each other that long, forever. So what is so important about this? Two things. What you're worth. And the love of God working so much in us, we can show you. And what he wants from us. He wants us, sons and daughters, his fellowship. So whatever this being alone was, you want to melt God? You want to just melt him? You just lift those hands up and say, I love you. Mean it. And I do so from the bottom of my heart. How could eternal and is everything and is love? He probably recognized that in himself. How could you be love? Not have somewhere to give it. Well, I'm a destruction machine. Yeah. Why would I be specially endowed if that's the only one there with love? Where would I got it from? Who would I give it to? What makes love love? It's not that you enjoy your presence so much. So what did he want? Wanted you. You. When you're praying in tongues, that's fellowship. Let him work his future for you. And when you lift your hands and nobody held a gun to your head or run over you at the truck to get you to notice him. You know, I used to butter him up before I asked for something.
Why would you do that?
Doubted his love, I guess. Maybe he's supposed to hit me in the head to teach me something. I knew I was going to ask for something. The problem is, so did he. So I'd go through the butter-up process. I just love you. Hallelujah. And that made it the problem. I was doing it to butter him up. Oh, hallelujah. Have I told you lately that I love you? I'm telling you again somehow. Playing the most... best music in the world. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Dun, 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 dun. Were you there when they nailed him to a tree? Sometimes it causes me to tremble, 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 tremble. You're getting the point. God, I really love you. Boy, what did I do without you? I don't know. Anyway, what you? Hallelujah. Can I have a new car? You wouldn't have been there during the correction. Can I have a new car? I guess I won't forget the day I prayed myself into enough change. One day in one of my entries. Now, he used a whole different way of saying it, but he said, look, you don't have to butter me up before you ask for something. I prefer you do that just because you love me. You don't have to butter me up. He said, you know why I give it to you? Not because you got perfect enough to ask for it and all that finally. Which sometimes bear on you, not him. He said, if you only knew what releases me to respond so thoroughly and so quickly. If you only knew. All you have to know when you come into my presence and ask me something is to know it's something I can do. That's truth. One, I've promised it. It's been made available. You can't ask me to okay your sinning so you can go on doing it. I don't sell them kind of insurance policies. Popular religion right now is growing to where I'm so glad I'm covered by grace. It means I can continue to sin. You're not going to be a happy camper one day. See? He's all you have to know. Why I do these things for you. You knew they couldn't be earned, so why be stupid? Of what I do for you. I do it because I love you. And the more you operate in love, the more you're going to know what it has to do with faith, too. You can't get a look at some lost person and love them and be void of faith. So what is it about he that's forever, was forever? How about the angels? They say he had no tempter. But God valued something, because how could he have fell if falling wasn't a possibility? How could he have fallen if it was impossible to fall? What kind of choice did they have? Looks like this is not the first time that he gets everything, even on this side of glory, because the fellowship is already in the nature like his, which he told the Samaritan woman. You already have a nature, he says, for he seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth, which is your born again nature can fellowship with his, and you can just have a good time and worship and things. See, that's where it started there. He was said, the hour now is, yeah, dispensation of 4,000 years he waited out. For the first man to appear that does have that kind of fellowship with him. He's been after this before, then this makes it very important to him. And you are. So don't walk into his presence and start communicating and praying, thinking you're nothing. The price he paid. I have to say this. I've said
it before.
He said, who's doing this? You are. If he could have just lied, it would have been easier in the garden. Wouldn't it? The day you eat of that day, you'll surely die. And they say, oh, okay, you don't have to die. I'll just forgive it. See, he can't do that because he can't lie. God's not a man that he can lie. He can't. He can't. Somebody had to die. The plan was set in immediately when, where are you? And they hid. First thing he did after is judge Satan and mentioned the birth of Jesus. Born a woman, you bruise your head. Then he endured the 4,000 years of the type of salvation, which the shadow was. Had to be a clean beast, his blood. That day they fell, he slew a beast and clothed them with his skin. That was the first blood to represent the man that was going to die and to take our death. His word would be filled. Because he can't lie. There'd have been nothing that could fellowship with him by making another robot. When I raised my hands to tell him I love him, it means everything to know it's you that's doing that. It's you. 4,000 years of killing clean beasts. Wars, a flood, sin, taking this captain, taking that one, till he got the promise into the earth. All the things he had to endure. No, you can't go into the holiest of all. You can't get behind the curtain. No, you can't do that. Now, don't touch the ark. These are all shadows of what's coming. You can't do that. Putting up with that for 4,000 years for any other reason but he loves you. I don't think so. Against the day, you can be born again and lift your face towards him. And fellowship and ask Him for things and give Him things. And after doing all that for you,
well, He did that for you.
For you, you.
No, he's making a difference.
In calls, yes, but not in people. Not in respect and love. No. Why'd he do it? You, everybody equally. He paid the price for equally. Don't let the devil trick you with his audacity and insult and campfire dancing, because you take God's word, which is truth and can't lie, and go before Him and ask Him for something that you need or want to have, something that qualifies according to truth. If you walk before Him with truth and pray it out and walk away wondering if it's going to happen, like, did He hear me? Did He hear you? After 4,000 years going through all of that, you think if you walk before Him with the truth that He don't hear you? Walk away insulting Him by not believing it? Well, He knows your baby's growing up at different stages. But churches that never get off of milk, they never get the chance that you have. Let's not throw a privilege away. Finding out that edification is something you can do on purpose, to work in His plan is something you can do on purpose, so walking in power is something you can do on purpose. Well, in history, when anybody made it to that place to where hell was thrown at them and they survived in that thing, all hell turned loose. He didn't want anybody getting into the rest of that love because of the devastation that he received at the hands of it. So he had to stop it. And I saw the fight.
Why did you get so happy if you saw the fight?
Because you don't lose unless you give up. It's hard to give up when you receive another bucket of love. Well, you can tell me. Did you tell me you could preach better than Alan? Is that what you said?
That's him.
But that bucket of love's poured out on him because he kept praying anyway. Did he pray for it in the natural? No, but the Holy Spirit knew. They poured a bucket of love on him. Pretty soon he goes, you know, Alan, you do pretty good. That was a parable. He didn't really do that to him. I could just pick on him, I know, because he wouldn't get even later. Hallelujah. Is anybody having a good time? Whew. Hallelujah, Jesus. I was doing something wrong for a long time. I didn't do it purposely. It's never quite. Every time it would get like serious that you should do it, something would pick it up and put it over here as secondary. And I thought it was okay because it, like, oh, yeah, okay. And it was something I was doing, and it was slowing everything down. affecting people helping me more than anything. And so when the love revealed that and started killing it, Tim was one of the first ones I went to. I said, Tim. And I had to. I mean, I didn't have to. I wanted to. I had to for my sake. I wanted to. So I said, Tim. If, now, if you want to interpret that, that's a tongue created by me. And I told him that, and he goes, yeah. Yeah. It had already changed my world, and I think it changed his a little bit, because you just don't know what this man has done. And Leah, so since he loves you, same as he loves everybody else, with all your problems and everything, wants to help you. Why don't you let him?